It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Higher education has had to adapt quickly to this pandemic. This first half hour, a closer look at how our colleges have been coping and what their plans are for the longer term amidst all the uncertainty. So we're checking in with a couple of leaders of higher ed in the state. In just a few minutes, I'll talk with Jonathan Brand, president of Cornell College in Mount Vernon. But first, Todd Holcomb has had less than a year to get his footing as the new president of Hawkeye Community College before this pandemic swept over the country and upended many aspects of college life. Todd Holcomb, President Holcomb, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben.
President Holcomb, Hawkeye Community College is known to many people in the state, but also unknown to some. I wonder if you could give us a quick introduction to your college for the benefit of those who aren't as acquainted with it.
Yeah, Hawkeye Community College is in the Cedar Valley area of Iowa. We have a little over 200,000 people, constituents in our district. And we're a comprehensive community college. We provide community and business education, adult literacy and education, and traditional education in both vocational technical areas, career technical areas, and transfer education.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say are the areas that are really your most popular areas in terms of training and degrees and people who want to get out there in the workforce? What are they coming to you for?
They're coming to us to get a job. So they're looking for just-in-time training opportunities for healthcare is one of our large fields, dental, nursing, variety of healthcare areas, transfer education. But we're also known for our community and business education. A big one is our truck driving training program. So we really do have a wide variety of students. About half of our students are career and technical education, and half of them are transfer education.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us, President Holcomb, what action you took, how your college adapted when this pandemic really took hold in March.
Well, we quickly closed the college down as much as we could physically, but then began working online with many of our students and our various constituents that were taking courses with us. Our hardest hit area was perhaps the business and community education program. It was very difficult working with businesses and being able to do that face-to-face, hands-on instruction. Mm-hmm. And that's really the area where we have struggled getting back up and running. I've been very proud of our students and our staff and faculty for going online, taking the college online and completing the learning opportunities and making sure the students are getting everything that they want out of their education. We also have a new adult learning center downtown that has over 800 students that are learning English as a second language. And that's been very, very difficult working with an international population who does not speak English as their first language. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was closing the college down was very extremely difficult and challenging, but also we were able to adapt more readily than what I thought we would. And a lot of kudos to our faculty for making the changes and implementing the social distancing requirements needed.
When you say downtown, this is at your main campus in Waterloo.
Yeah, we have three campuses. We have a Cedar Falls campus. We have a downtown Waterloo campus, which is our adult learning center. And then we have our main campus, which is on the south edge of Waterloo in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so from this point on, what are you looking at as the challenges at the top of your list when it comes to offering a quality community college education in the future?
Well, this, you know, was an extraordinarily difficult and challenging time for us, but it's also a time for opportunity and growth and change. We're in the process of creating a new vision, mission, and strategic plan for the college. And this has been a very dramatic event as we progress forward in making those new changes to the college. Mm-hmm. It's also been an opportunity to initiate change more quickly. I perhaps have never seen in my career in higher education where the accrediting bodies, the Department of Education, and the colleges came together so quickly to meet the student learning outcomes, get the students finished, and move forward. And I think that will continue going on into the future. We thought that closing a college down was difficult, but I'm finding that reopening the college is harder.
Oh,
it's almost like we're building a new college. We're rethinking our learning strategies. We're rethinking our human resource components. We're looking at every scenario and creating case-by-case analysis of what might happen. So it's been extremely challenging moving forward, but also extraordinarily exciting in what we're able to do going forward and what I see into the future.
Mm-hmm. In general terms, as a student attending Hawkeye Community College, let's say compare the student entering the college in the spring semester of 2020 before the pandemic with a student entering in the fall of 2020 post-pandemic. We hope this has tailed off a bit, but what will be the chief differences as a student experiencing your college?
I think that we're planning on face-to-face instruction in the fall. One of the things that we heard from students from this past spring during the pandemic is that students like some of the high tech that we've been able to incorporate into our classroom environment, but we're also hearing they like the high touch. So they're missing some of that face-to-face, hands-on instruction. So mm-hmm. We're going to be more adaptive and more prepared for providing both a higher tech, high touch opportunities for students coming to Hawkeye. And yeah. I think that will be very, very readily available to students and will be more amenable to changes and adapting more quickly, getting students through to their learning outcomes.
Yeah, right. So how do you do that high touch? Because of course, touch we know is the problematic part of learning in this pandemic era.
Yeah, one of the things that we've heard from is that we're being more inclusive. So faculty members are having Zoom meetings one-on-one with students, but they're also being more inclusive and having more direct contact with students. That you could, for example, the college committees that we've actually included more people, so you could be more inclusive and you could have not only one-on-one instruction through technology, but you could also have group instruction through technology mm-hmm. and incorporating more technology into the learning process. Our students have been very engaged with that. And I think it's been good for our faculty to have those interactions with students going forward.
Mm-hmm. What about those areas? You mentioned some of the most popular areas of learning at your community college. Dental, nursing come to mind here. Given the pandemic and the new era that we are, and even if this hopefully this the virus tails off, the infections tail off, but we are in a new era. There's no doubt about that. Can you tell us at all how, say, dental and nursing curriculum changes, I imagine, to emphasize, treating COVID patients or other patients in the future and in this environment?
I think what I've seen from the accrediting bodies is a willingness to make sure that students are getting the competencies they need in a timely fashion. I believe that you'll see more streamlining. Making sure that it's not so much time in seat, but competency-based education moving forward. We have a very enormous shortage of healthcare workers here in Iowa, and it's a program that is very attractive with high wages. It's what I call the three H's: high wage, high earner, and high high ability students. So making sure that those students that come into that can get through it very quickly and out into the workforce. And I think you'll see more collaboration between the Department of Education, accrediting bodies, and colleges and students to get them through the education and get them into the workforce quicker.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I wonder if you've had discussions in your administration or with colleagues in other colleges. COVID has had an impact on, it's reshaping our workforce in the whole United States. And so it makes sense that it's reshaping the environment that you're training people for. Do you consider that when you talk about how your community college will change? Which careers are on the upswing and which ones are sort of tailing off, perhaps because of COVID?
Yeah, some of the discussions we've had is that we hear oftentimes from employers, they want individuals not only with knowledge, but they want skills, soft skills. So a soft skill that is going to be essential going forward is being able to communicate online through Zoom meetings, being able mm-hmm. to run meetings, articulate meetings, being able to reach out and touch people through technology, I think will be very, very important. We also see that there'll be perhaps with the recession, an upswing in enrollment in 2021. However, you could see Iowa 3 years later going back to the dramatic need for workers in industry and making sure that we currently do not have the demographics to support all the workers that we need in Iowa. So right. You'll see short-term stackable certificates. You'll see a vertical integration of education, making sure that individuals can pass through and get the level of skills and training that they need to enter the workforce as quickly as possible.
Okay, Todd Holcomb, president of Hawkeye Community College in the Cedar Valley there. Main campus located in Waterloo, campuses in Waterloo and also Cedar Falls, offering services throughout the Cedar Valley. President Holcomb, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, from the Cedar Valley, the Waterloo, Cedar Falls area, let's head south in eastern Iowa to picturesque Mount Vernon, home to Cornell College, a small private liberal arts school. Cornell offers more than 30 undergraduate programs, also more than 10 pre-professional areas of study, including business and law. Jonathan Brand is the president of Cornell College. And he joins us. Welcome back to our program, President Brand.
Hi, Ben. Great to hear your voice. Great to be on again.
Well, what a pleasure to have you on again. We like to have full disclosure. Cornell College is a financial supporter of Iowa Public Radio. Let's talk a little bit about, for those who don't know, you have a special approach to the academic calendar, one course at a time. Eight blocks, as I remember, of 18 days each. This allows students to focus on one thing at a time, all day, every day for 18 days, then move on to the next course. And recently, as a reaction to COVID, you had some flexibility because of that special academic schedule. Tell us about that.
Well, that's right. And in fact, what became clear the moment that COVID-19 sort of became this all-encompassing reality for all of us. We looked at our block system, 3.5 weeks, that we eight courses over these each 3.5 weeks long, and we know that students and their families are looking for, as you mentioned, flexibility, and they're looking for certainty. That is to say that they can come to college and in no more than 4 years, maybe even less, they can graduate from college. And the block system, which I like to say is incredible in times of health and prosperity, turns out is incredible in a global pandemic because it is built upon that very flexibility that people want, because every 3.5 weeks, they move on to their next course or to their next project. So we knew that we had something that we've been doing for 42 years and suddenly had this moment to really leverage every benefit that it offers,
So give me a concrete example of how you leverage that. Why does it adapt better than a traditional semester system where you take 5, 6, 7 core courses?
Right. Well, so in this instance, so over the spring term and into the fall, we'll use that as a better example. We know that COVID-19 will require every school to be able to make changes almost potentially on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned in the last 20 minutes, we don't know what COVID-19 will do in the future. Well, every 3.5 weeks for every month, basically, we will be able to respond, whether it's online or on campus, subject to what COVID-19 does. At a learning level, the fact that our students don't have to juggle 3 or 4 or 5 courses at a time means that they can focus on just that one course every day, and it makes it much easier for them to focus on that course. And interestingly, Ben, our faculty, this is sort of an unstated benefit that I like to talk about. Our faculty don't have to juggle teaching 2 or 3 or 4 courses online. They only teach one course at a time.
Right.
So on a daily basis, they can really focus on their students in class in a way that wouldn't be possible if they were teaching 3 or 4 classes or teaching 300 or 400 students. Our average class size is only 16.
Mm-hmm. Let me share with you a couple of news items I'm sure you ran across this week. This week, University of Cambridge has said it will scrap all face-to-face lectures until mid-2021 due to the pandemic. That makes it the first major education institution to officially scale back its operations for the whole of the next academic year. It says it will continue to make lectures available online, some small group teaching also that may take place if participants can do the social distancing. But students will not be able to attend lectures in person. Juxtaposed that at Cambridge with Notre Dame. The University of Notre Dame said Monday that they would resume in-person classes August 10th, becoming one of the first major universities to announce how it would reopen campus after this pandemic has led to the shutdowns nationwide. So what is your plan going forward when it comes to in-person classes? Your small class sizes, which you just described, must make a huge difference.
They do. And we know our students overwhelmingly want to be back on campus in the fall. And that's our plan. Now, I say that recognizing that we will make a formal decision in July when we really can look out to August and September. But our plan right now is to commence on August 24th on campus for our students, and I hope it's all of them. And when I say that, it's important. You spend a lot of time thinking about the fall on campus or off campus. I think the more important way to think about it is what will it take internally so that we can safely open on campus? What are the steps we have to take? What are the measurements, whether it's testing and tracing and masks and hand sanitizer and wipes and cleaning spaces, which is much easier on the block system. And that thinking about that and thinking about what we need to do to ensure that we're protecting anyone, faculty, staff, who's immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. To me, that's where the work really is.
When you say what will it take, and you ask that question of yourself, of your administration, your staff, your faculty, what is the hardest nut to crack there? What have you been working on that you see as the biggest challenge in terms of keeping a safe environment for your students, and so they're willing to come back and are assured that they're not putting themselves in any danger?
Right. Well, I think that's a great question, Ben, and with the block system, fortunately, classrooms, for example, won't be a huge challenge for us because a class can meet in a classroom in the morning, and if we need to, we'll clean it and have another class in there in the afternoon. Dining hall, we can figure out. Moving around campus, we'll figure out. The part that I think for colleges and universities is the most vexed is in the residence halls because students share bathrooms, restrooms, and so that's where we are right now actively planning. How can we minimize any risk that any student has in the residence halls?
Right. So what are your preliminary solutions there? What are you batting around?
Right. Well, so for example, we'll end up having probably to retrofit some of the bathrooms, plexiglass as one option between the different sinks. You could imagine that you'll schedule times when people can go in and use the restrooms versus not. So you sort of stage it around that. Of course, we will expect, I believe, that everyone has with them masks and hand sanitizer and wipes and washing hands. And some of it is, it will take everyone on any campus, it will take everyone's commitment together to thinking about the safety of everyone around us. On a mm-hmm. smaller campus like Cornell's, that's going to be a lot easier than a larger campus. And that's one reason why I'm very bullish about where Cornell will be in the fall, because we can do this given our size and the sort of roll up your sleeves attitude of the students, faculty, and staff.
All right. In the approximately 2 minutes we have left, let's talk, zoom out a little bit, if I could, with you, President Brand. Uncertainty, that's the word that we're all working with these days. Hard to plan in these uncertain times. We are in a new era. We don't know whether there'll be a second wave coming. How do you plan? How does any college or university plan in such an environment?
It's hard. And with the last interview, I mean, it's also sort of invigorating. So for us, as you know, what we did is, again, people want certainty. So we took our 8-block calendar and we have added 2 blocks. So now we will have, for the next 2 years, a 10-block calendar. And what that will allow us to do, first of all, if a student who has a COVID-19 related reason says, look, I can't be there on August 24th for the first block, mm-hmm. they can come block 2 and still have their 8 courses, even 9 courses. And so it will allow us on a month-to-month basis to look at what's happening with COVID-19 and what's happening on campus and respond proactively in light of what we're seeing around us. And what I love about the 10-block calendar, I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
No, go ahead. We've got just a few seconds left. It's kind of a buffer.
Yeah, it is. And what I love about it is if all things go as we hope, a student might actually contemplate 10 blocks each of the next few years and graduate in under 4 years, which is another sort of advantage of the block system.
Okay, I see where you're going. Okay, thanks for those insights. Jonathan Brand, president of Cornell College, and the rest of his administration and faculty are planning for their fall semester, Cornell College in Mount Vernon. President Brand, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for sharing your thinking with us.
Thank you, Ben. Take care.
You too. Coming up after a short break, a conversation with Cindy Dawson. She is the recipient of the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award from the organization 100 Great Iowa Nurses. We'll find out what it's been like on the front lines of this healthcare crisis when we come back. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.